Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome back. Earn Your Leisure.
BYL.
Special edition. Yes.
Oh, man, energy is high here.
But before we start, we got to tell you the backstory of this episode. So one of the people's favorites is episode number 11, Derek Falcon, restaurant owner from Baltimore. If you haven't listened to that episode, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice.
Homemade for sure.
So when he came on, he was talking, and he said a line. And he said this line.
When we see that a young black kid he's 15 years old and he's 6'9 and he could dribble.
We got to make sure he
we clamoring like, yo, keep him out of trouble and make sure he get home. Yeah. But when you see the young black entrepreneur who's 20 years old, who's selling nachos, you know, like my young man Killer from Nacho Bang, he's selling nachos, you throw him to the wolves. Yeah. Oh, you know, my cousin, my uncle, my cracky uncle, can he sweep the steps up? No, stop doing that, because they do that all the time. They tend to undermine the value of our entrepreneurs, where and essentially our entrepreneurs and our creatives are the future.
So when he said that line,
like what?
When he said that line, I didn't really know what he was talking about, honestly. I didn't really know what he was talking about.
No one caught it.
Yeah, he's like, my man Killer from Nacho, he's selling nachos. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, me not too. Yeah.
So what happened was, so when that clip, when the clip came out, I put the clip on Instagram.
Yeah.
And my man, Nacho Bangers, he commented in the comment like, yo, I'm the kid. I'm Nacho. I'm the kid he's talking about.
I was like,
And then I looked on his page and I seen he had like 60,000 followers on Instagram. He had a whole movement going. I'm like, oh, so now we connected the dots. So the dope thing about Earn Your Leisure is that it's more than just a podcast. It's storylines involved. It's a whole vibe.
Yeah.
So from that, so we met him in person at our DC event.
Yeah.
Him and his man Al, shout out to Al.
They came
to our podcast and they came to the workshop. And then from there,
he said, I'm Nacho. I said, bro, I know who you are.
Yeah, so we had a conversation and he's from Baltimore. So coming back to New York, we had to, you know, pass through Baltimore on our way back from DC. So we stopped at his spot and we ate, and he was telling us his story.
We gotta be fair to him. He's usually closed. He's like,
yeah,
yo,
he opened the spot for us.
Tell me if y'all gonna come. I said,
we'll,
bro,
we'll talk about that.
We coming.
He opened the spot for us. We ate, and we had like an hour long conversation. Like, yo, you wanna come on the podcast? And he's like, yeah. So he was in New York for DJ Envy and Caesar's seminar.
Shout out to them, alumni.
Shout out to them, EYL alumni. And afterwards, came to EYL Studios.
Yeah, the headquarters.
And this is where we at now. So first and foremost, thank you.
Hey, y'all welcome, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Hey.
For sure.
We building.
For sure. So, all right. So my man Nacho Bang, what do you want me to call you? You want me to call you Government, hey, Huey, hey, Nacho Bang?
Huey
so
B.
You
know Nacho.
My alter ego is Huey B. Nacho. You know, Mr. Nacho Banger. I had to get rid of my real name. You know, Huey B. Nacho.
So yeah. So the thing I like about Nacho is that a lot of people have been asking us like, "Yo, y'all got all of these moguls that have like 100 properties.
Yeah, they've been
and
established.
All this,
in the
but
game.
It's like, can you get like the up and coming entrepreneurs? Like, because the thing about Ryan Leach is we tell everybody's story.
Right.
So they're like, yo, get an up and coming cat that's like, you know what I'm saying, doing his thing, but it's still in the beginning stages. So Nacho fits that perfectly. He's 23 years old. And he got a whole booming operation going on in Baltimore with the food. He had the food truck, and then he had a ghost restaurant. We'll talk about what the ghost restaurant is. And then he had a really creative idea to like brand his food business with dancing. And that went viral, and like a lot of the musicians and all that. So he's a young entrepreneur coming out of Baltimore. So this is going to be an exciting story.
Yeah, his story was just so compelling. When we went to the spot, we were just like, "Yo, man!" As we eating the food that was delicious, by the way, we're just like, "Yo, we got to get this kid up here, man."
I appreciate y'all for coming, man. You know, I always say, never ever trust a skinny chef. You know, one bite tastes like love. I had to get y'all to get that one bite, man.
That's all we needed.
So, all right. So, can we take it back from the beginning? All right. So, what's your story? How do you get involved in food, in the food industry? And what's your backstory? So, coming from Baltimore, what's your story?
I'm gonna tell you how it is. Just like, you know, when I was at y'all podcast in D.C., when I met y'all there, like I met my man Ash Cash. He said, from cheese to chips, you know, $60 to six figures. So I started off broke. Started off, I ain't know what to do. So I got out of high school. I got out June 15th, 2016. I got out of high school. So I'm like, what's next for me? What's next? I say, you know, I had to bag of weed. I'm ready to jug the weed off, get a half a baby, flip the money. And I was on Instagram. I always say, your fortune is hitting in your daily routine. Every day I'm on social media. Every day I'm looking at different people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on the Food Network channel. I seen a plate of nachos. I said, I can make that. It wasn't just the ordinary nachos, though. Like, you just see nachos. It was like a crazy blend. And I was like, I can put that together. I can make that. So I went in my neighborhood, and I'm just telling people, like, yo, I'm ready to start making some nachos. Y'all want some? Y'all gonna buy some? Everybody like, yeah. A little spot called Glover, East Baltimore. So I'm like, y'all gonna buy some? Everybody like, man, come on, make them. I need them. So they were so hyped because I bring the energy too. One thing I love is energy. So they love my energy. And I made the food. I went to go get the, hold up, let me go burn it back. I went to go get the trays from my aunt. And when I got the trays from my aunt, I went nuts with the recipe. When nuts the recipe, I started July the 15th, 2016. I only had $60 to my name. $60, walked to the market, grabbed the food, put the nacho together real good. I was like, what am I going to call this? It's a banger. Nacho bangers.
So you talking about like literally like the iron tray that like if I put the foil on, like you didn't even have that first.
I ain't have nothing. I just had a bowl that you buy.
Yeah.
A tortilla. Throw some Doritos in it.
Yeah.
Add the meat. Add the queso, and I got to put the special sauce.
We're going to get into that.
We're going to tell you about the sauce. So when I put the sauce in there, it was a banger for real. It started like that.
So you
straight out the house. Straight out the house.
So you got the tray. You got the now. You just walking outside like, yo, nachos is here?
So I went to the neighborhood before. So I branded myself. I marketed myself before I went.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I straight out the house. No hot water. No gas on. So we really in a bando. I'm in my baby mama house, my bando, baby still in her stomach, in the oven. I had to come up with some kind of hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Hustle is how you secure your true life experience, how you survive through life every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at hustle.
Yeah, so I mean, your story goes back further, though, right?
It goes back further from, like, how I grew up. You know, I grew up with love. I grew up with struggle. I grew up with struggle, no structure. You know, foster care from 3 to 6. My brother X, he introduced me to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 6 years old, he stole me out the foster care home, the married couple that we was with through foster care. He stole me out of there, introduced me to my mom, shout out to Big Cat, you feel me? He introduced me to my mother, and when he introduced my mother, I'm like, oh, all right, this a mom, you feel me?
Yeah.
Not saying this a mom, I just never understood.
I've never seen a mother before.
Yeah. I grew up with no father anyway, so when I first met a lady, like, oh, this mom? Okay. She was abused to the substance.
Mm.
So my stepfather was out of her life. They won us from the, they, you know, went through the courts. They won us back, me and my brothers and sisters. So when they won us, I started going to my mother's house. I was 6 years old. From there, she was abused to the substance, getting high and things of that nature. Toolbox locked the door. No curfew for me. I was outside in the trenches.
At six?
6 years old, I caught the nickname Killer. Caught the nickname Killer. A friend of mine, John B., rest in peace, he gave me the nickname Killer. I was just a bad little menace. I was a bad little kid in the community, a menace to society. So yeah. I was real negative into the streets. And, the name carried me to now.
Yeah, I mean, when we spoke, it was like, usually when the kid is like, the kid don't act that acts up all the time, yeah, it's like, that's who the neighborhood loves.
That's what I love.
So now you become the young boy for everybody.
Yeah, so I was everybody's son. I was everybody's first kid.
I like that you said son. That's a New York thing.
Yeah. I was everybody's first kid in the neighborhood. Before anybody started making kids, I was everybody's favorite little youngin'. Like, yo, he bad, yo, but I want to go take him shopping because he dirty. Yeah, so I was everybody's little youngin'. They took me out, you know, but I always knew morals. I always knew not to steal. I always knew how to respect the woman. You know, them queens that you see, I was like, I gotta respect her. I can't call out her name. I gotta respect her. But through that trial right there, I had my second friend in life, Cuffy. So my guy Cuffy, he always like he snuck me in his house before, and I was staying there. You know, my house wasn't no structure. When it rained, we felt that. A rat, we lived through that. When a rat run through the, we was in a real V, we was in a, we call them Vicks. The bando.
They was like the real bandos. Wire.
Yeah, real vegan home. We sleeping in there. On the bed, when it rained, we felt that. Once again, I seen the rain. I could see the sky looking up.
Damn.
Yeah, so my second friend, he always snuck me in his house. My second friend in life, Cuffy, we was like 6 years old. This boy ain't supposed to have no company, you hear me? He sneaked me through the back door. Doug Biggie shit, very scared me, you hear me? So he sneaked me in there. I'm staying with him. You know me, I ain't had nothing. So I stole his clothes. Stole his shoes. Yeah.
Survival. Full survival. Survival.
But I put it back when I came back in the house. It was a little dusty, but from there, that second friend in life, man, we went so far. I started this brand, Nacho Bangers. Like, it was a brand for me.
So what made you want to start Nacho? Like, coming from adverse circumstances and coming off the street corner, what made you say, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur? Did that just happen by accident?
It was, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just blind to the game. I was blind to the lifestyle. I just had a vision to do so. Like, your fortune is hitting your daily routine. I'm on social media. I see a plate of nachos. I told myself I can make them. I put it together. First, I started off with shredded cheese. I didn't even know how to really make the queso real good, wipe it down. I was microwaving my shrimp at one point in time. Wasn't even sauteing, wasn't even grilling them. Just put the Obey in a butter bowl, put the shrimp in there, throw them in a microwave. It's still a little tender when you bite them.
So, no culinary school needed.
No school. Yeah. No school. No mother that taught me how to cook. No grandmother that taught me how to cook. Everything straight learned from self.
Who taught you how to cook?
Myself.
Like just trial and error?
Just trial and error.
YouTube?
You know, I know how to make noodles and so I just put the same seasons I put in the noodles. Like,
my Oodle Noodles, baby. You know
what? I think the steak season is going, Obey? I'm going to put the Obey in here. Oh, yeah, this is a banger. So I get to mix that up. And from there, you know, I got the friends around. Shout out to Young Inky, A1 Bean. They get to eating my food. They be like, bro, yeah, just the one. In the neighborhood, approve of it. Had 12 customers in one day, 200 plus in 1 month.
That's so the first. That's the first moment.
That's the first day.
So you start. All right. So you start off. You had
$60.
And you said you had to borrow $60, right? Or you asked to borrow and never came.
So through high school, I graduated high school. So we going through the we doing a resume and stuff. As soon as you get out of high school, I gotta get a job, a good one. So diploma, I got a diploma. All this time, I went to school for 1 month. I graduated. I went to school for 1 month.
Wait for. For the entire senior year?
I went to school here and there. I played the streets, so I was living through survival. So
like, you say in total 1 month?
Total 1 month, basically.
For?
I went for that last month in school for the finals.
For the last year, for your senior year?
Okay. So I got with the guidance counselors. I linked up with the guidance counselors. I linked up with the counselors, like, you know, the administrators that was able to help me. I was a bad kid.
So you went to school for a month and graduated? And
you still got
school
for a month. You still got
all out. I had to do had to pay my dues. You know, they shut the school down the same.
What did I say about public school?
Easy. This doesn't help the argument.
In the podcast. I said as long as you showed up and didn't curse the teacher out, you gotta be.
Yeah. But he ain't even show up.
He graduated. The main thing I did, this is how I graduated. I paid the dues. I paid my $400.
For like seeing trips and Cap McGowan's and stuff like that?
I didn't get to the trips. They just want the money. They want the money. I paid the dues and I graduated. So the education that I did get out of there, the main thing I still learned from high school is the 5 W. So the 5 W's, once I learned the 5 W's, it just took me everywhere, like what I wanted to do in life.
So, all right. So you asked to borrow $60 to start the business, right?
I asked to borrow $60. My best friend, we graduated. I'm doing a FAFSA. I'm doing the resumes and stuff. So we got to that FAFSA. I'm getting a little, like, bothered because I'm like, my mother got to come? Oh, she definitely not coming.
They got to sign the papers.
They got to sign the papers. So I'm like, man, this ain't going to work out. I said, you know what? I ain't paying no debt. I'm going to build my own debt. So I was always looking at debt like it was money. So I was like, college? No, that ain't really for me. So from there, I was like, man, I'm ready to start selling food on the grill. That was my main topic, like sell food on the grill. I told my best friend, like, Ma, I said, Ma, let me hold $60. I got you, bro. Never gave me the $60. 2 weeks later, I asked my baby mama, I asked my child mother, can I borrow the $60? She gave me $60. And from there, I made it.
So, all right. So it comes. So you make this dish, and it becomes popular in your neighborhood.
It becomes popular in the neighborhood.
People start buying it.
Yep.
And you get a consistent flow of people that's buying.
Consistent
it.
Customers.
So
every day.
So they pull up to your house.
They pull up to my crib. That's where I live at.
Okay.
So, all right. Walk me through the first month. How does this first month play out? Like, how are you getting orders? Are they texting you? DMing you? What's it look like?
The DM, the phone calls. So I had the Instagram banging, the phone calls, you know, the walkthroughs just because I started in the neighborhood. First, it was just in the I walk. So
how old are you, like 18?
I was 19.
19.
19, right. Straight out of high school, 19. July the 15th, 2016. So that first day, them 12 customers, people that I promoted on Instagram, the main thing how I started, I took pictures with the customers like this with a good smile. And I posted on Instagram. Everybody that shot with me, I took a picture with them. And I took a picture of them. And I used social media as that platform. As my documentary of life, everyday life, my documentary. So I looked at social media and I put every picture, everybody that shot with me within that day and through the whole month, I took a picture of them and posted them. So by me getting hot, they was getting hot too because they were like, oh, he went? That's my uncle. That's my aunt. That's my little sister. That's my kids. So everybody was like, I got to see what that's about. Mm.
So at what point do you really start to like blow it up?
And when I had to Google what six figures was because I had too much money in a shoebox.
Mm. So you're taking the revenue in, right? Straight.
Yeah.
At that time, were we charging $5 for a taco?
No, just $12 for a nacho. It wasn't no wrap or nothing. I'm just driving straight $12.
And it's straight cash?
Straight cash.
You ain't have a credit card processor or nothing?
Somebody told me to go to Walmart, buy a little square thing. I hooked the square up on my joint.
To your phone.
To my phone, start swiping cards.
So how many customers you averaging per day?
Oh, per day? Wow. I couldn't even count. I couldn't even count, man. I was saying, like, I can tell you, we was making 10 bands a week.
10,000 a week.
10,000 a week.
So.
Me. Just by myself at the time.
Just straight out the shoebox.
Really out the band, though.
Out the band, though. So you're making 10,000 a week at 19 years old. You got a nice thing going. And then at what point do you get the food truck?
So I got a full van. I was still out of a caravan. I was out of regular little van, banging around the neighborhood first. Like late night, I ain't closed. We always open up from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. So I open up late because that's the times everybody ready to get off of work. Boom, boom, boom. Summertime here. So 6 to 12. At the 12 o'clock, I do the nightlife. So I start doing the parties and stuff. So
you're pulling up the van. After the club.
At the club.
This is a good thing.
I was pulling up in the van in the trenches where they selling the hard drugs at, where they selling drugs at. I was pulling up on the boys that was on the block because they ain't leaving. They making their money right there. So I fed them right there with the nachos.
Now, I seen it on Instagram. I saw it a year ago. Because I'm observing. When you hit us, I looked at your page and I looked back like 27 weeks. And I saw, I'm like, all right, this kid is heavy in the streets right
now.
Yeah. And then, but the thing I like about this is that you have no formal training. But it's like sometimes common sense goes a lot further than just, you know, college, right? So it's like, you know, if you ever been to a club, you know that people are hungry after the club. They eat. They want to go to diners. Yeah. That's why in New York, like the food trucks are real big. So it's like you have your own makeshift food truck, and you know what time the club closes. You know where people are at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because after you've consumed all that liquor, you got to have some food in your stomach.
You got to have some good grub.
Right? So that's what I said. Like, and Max Maxwell said this, but this is true, man. You took an imperfect action. You had no idea what you were going to do. I'm just going to do it.
I just took that, you know, fearless. I was just fearless because imagine I'm still trapping out my house. I'm in Baltimore City. You know, I'm happy my name was good in that lifestyle, you know, growing up. That's what helped me out as well because people respected me from growing up, you know, because I had respect and I gave them respect. So growing up, I'm happy I had that respect and no one robbed the house or anything like that. We was good in that. And I all praise be to Allah. That's the biggest thing, you know, you got to put Allah first. I was praying. I was on my deen. I prayed so much. And by me praying a lot, that's what got things connected. So I always walk fearless. Mm. Only fear I had was a fear of Allah.
So after the truck, right?
Oh, it was a van. I had a van.
The van.
I didn't even get the truck. The
van. So you got the van.
Yes.
Now you're selling out of your house and you're mobile.
No,
right?
So I'm preparing. It was no hot plate in the van. Nothing. We just got a van. Got it wrapped with the Nacho Banger logo. I'm preparing the food. And I'm putting it in the van.
So you prepping like 40-50 Nacho Bangers.
Nacho Bangers.
So it wasn't really a food truck.
Nope.
It was just delivery food
van.
Inside of a
delivery van.
Okay.
And it was like advertisement. What I like going to a billboard. I already got doing the marketing on Instagram. I'm advertising on the van. So the police even beat the horn. Beep beep beep. What y'all got in there? We hungry.
They not asking you for no license or nothing like that.
They just hungry.
Yeah.
So that's built out clientele with the officers and things. Built out clientele in the streets because, well, that's Nacho Banger van. Pull them over. Beat the horn. So, you know, we were just feeding people. I got one for you. Straight out of our hot bag, giving you the food.
Ah, the hot
just like
bag.
On the road. They on just the road. Pull up to you in traffic.
And we ain't know what destination we was going. We just driving. Yeah. We just driving.
Catch you in traffic. Literally. Yeah, literally. All right. So the next segment we're going to talk about the scaling model, ghost restaurants, and where you go from there. Dance moves as well.
Yeah, we got to get to that.
All right. So, okay. So you start out the bando.
Out the bando.
You're selling hot plates.
Yeah.
And
inclusive to everyone.
Hand to hand.
Nacho bangers.
And then you get the van. You wrap it with your logo.
Before the van, it was a regular little caravan. So first, I'm going to share my mentor. I got two mentors in life. One, Uncle T. Number two is Derek Falcon. You have to be real careful of people you call your mentors.
That's a fact.
Yeah, you have to be careful who you call your mentors because they got to live up to a lifestyle that you actually can live by and follow through. Uncle T is my life coach. Derek is my financial advisor. He's my mentor. He's everything I need as being an entrepreneur in the restaurant industry. So I go to Derek Falcon for everything in that nature. And Uncle T, I go for everything that I need. You know, how to be a father, how to maintain, you know, my health, my wealth, you know, Uncle T. And Uncle T, his daughter came to the crib. She's like, I want some nachos. And he was like, where? Out the house? I'm not going in there. It's the house like a trap. Like a trap house. He was like, no, they sell nachos in there. So Uncle T came in. He came in my spot. Him and his daughter, and he was like, wow, I see how this kid got it. So he see how I got everybody in line, waiting on their food and stuff.
So the line is literally lined up like outside
door,
the house.
Out the house, all the way inside.
Wow.
To the kitchen. So he come in there and see the operation. He bring his best friend Tony with him. So before they leave, I'm like, Uncle T, look, hold up. Let me get these people out of here. Before you leave me, let me get these people out of here. Don't leave me yet. So he waited, you know, I made him extra nachos because they waited for the wait. His best friend like, man, I wanted some lamb chops. I ain't want no food out of no trap house. So I'm like, man, listen, this is the best nachos ever. So Uncle T and them, they waited for me. I ran to Uncle T after I got everybody out of the kitchen. I said, man, look, man, I'm ready to get evicted, man. He's like, you don't got no house, no storefront or nothing. Uncle T like, look, my best friend Tony, he just got past all the inspections and things. You can actually open your restaurant in here. Mm. So Uncle T told me the time to come. The next day I was there before everybody got there. I was just so dedicated. I had that hustle in me. Like, I got to get here. So they let me in the storefront. I came in there with $3,000. Came up front with $3,000, you know. Walked to the storefront. Why we was ready to get evicted? Because I wasn't paying nobody else debt. That was on her mother. Like, I wasn't paying nobody else debt.
This is your baby.
Yeah, this is my child mother, and she was still pregnant at the time. I'm like, look, we ready to get an apartment. I'm not paying for your family debt at all. I'm getting up out of here. We got a room in here, that's it. We getting up out of here.
So she was with whatever I was with at the time. So Uncle T was like, man, I like you, kid. So his tell you, this is not his store. This is best friend's store. So his best friend was like, man, you not put that kid in my store? So I got babysitting for like a good 7 months before they even gave me keys. So I had to wait for them to open the door. They had to lock the door behind me.
But they let you have the store.
They let me have the store. Right. I only could open up from 6 to 12 though, same time.
When they
6
when,
p.m.
to 12 when they night. When they were closed. When they were closed, right?
Yeah, they did the breakfast time. So they did breakfast from like 9 to 5, you know.
So you open up a restaurant, pretty much makeshift restaurant, in somebody else's restaurant.
Yeah. So I was I was waiting on them.
Using their kitchen.
Yeah, I was using their
kitchen. Paying them rent.
I was paying $1,000 a month.
Okay, but you can only use it at nighttime.
I can only use it.
They didn't trust you.
They did not trust me.
So they had to open the door, close the door.
Yeah, to lock it, close. Cause look, you got a young kid, 19 years old. Yeah. I don't know what this kid into, but you know, I had to build my trust with him now. And I built that relationship with Trish.
So how do you meet Derek Falcon?
So Derek Falcon, I met Derek out of Sharif, brother Sharif, man. Good brother, good Muslim brother, owned a lot of restaurants. His story is similar to mine, how he started his restaurants and his empire in the restaurant industry. So I'm like, Sharif, he ain't got a lot of time on his hand, so he couldn't really mentor me. So Derek, he passed me to Derek. Man, Derek was just like inspiration. I'm like, I can relate. He was relatable around my age. Talk my tone, low key with everything. I can just vibe with him. I can just vibe, and I felt this vibe and his energy. And I'm like, man, this is what I'm trying to do in life. The main thing he taught was system. Save yourself time, energy, and money. Taught me system.
Yeah. You said when he walked into your store, he was like, yo, everything out.
Yeah, throw everything out. He walked into my store, throw everything out. This not what you're doing. This is not how you want to operate.
At that time, what's the store looking like?
Your store looking like a trap. That's all I knew was the house. So a lot of customers in there, you know. So Derek was like, I'm going to come back on a day when it's not open. What day you close? I sound like I'm a little bit dumb. I'm going to come back what day you not open. What day you close on? That's where we're going to come. So mind you, I ain't know the profit margin of the business. I ain't know how much portion to put in the nachos. I ain't know nothing. So Derek came in there for free and scaled my restaurant.
So you just literally out here doing, did you even know what a profit margin was at this point?
I didn't know what a profit margin was. I didn't know no numbers or anything. That's why it's good. The networking, I didn't even know what networking was, literally.
Yeah.
I just knew, all right, that's a customer. They're supporting. But then when I got with Derek, I learned what the consumers was and what a supporter was. Mm. You know, consumers are someone who buy. Supporters is people that's going to actually tell you what you're doing good and what you're doing wrong and how you're able to scale this and be better. So one thing, Dirty came in there, he scaled the restaurant. He's like, you got to make some changes here. You have to really build things, you know, portions, things that nature. You have to really learn how to portion your items, how to really scale it. And once I learned how to scale it, it changed my life.
So like, what did he, like, what's some of the things that, like the key things that he taught you?
The key thing he taught me was the write down, the measurements. The measurements of the meat, you know, 6 ounces for that, that's the banger. 3 ounces for the chicken wrap. You know, this is how you scale it. Put this amount of shrimp in there because I was feeding them with shrimp. Shrimp high. Yep. How you going to get that much seafood out for $3?
Right, right. You're thinking like your overhead going to be real high if you're doing this.
So I got a nice, easy menu. Like my food cost. He took me the food cost of things. Like, bro, your food cost is low. You giving too much out. You're just doing the most. And I'm like, man, I don't know this lifestyle. I just know how to hustle. I know how to trap, take a risk and prosper. That's all I knew at the time. Take a risk and prosper, trap. But Derek helped me how to grow, man. Get rid of your old ways. You hear me?
So at that time, right, you was doing 10,000 in the house. Now you got the storefront.
Yeah,
so same profit margin? Or are we getting more now?
So Maj is overhead now. So you got BGE, you got employees. You have rent that I didn't have no problem when I was out the house. So all this stuff is new to me. I never paid rent. I ain't had my own apartment or nothing yet.
Yeah, employees?
Yeah, employees.
That's crazy.
I had some employees, man. Shout out to Rock, Cam, Tasia. I had some good employees, man. You know, they was actually customers at one point in time.
Yeah.
And I made them my employees. I taught one girl how to run a cash register. We ain't even had no cash register. It was the money in the box still. I'm in the store with the dollars going to buy. Dollars here, fives here, tens here, 20s here, hundreds right here underneath this other box.
With the calculator?
Yeah, with the calculator. So we calculating every item like that, you know. She like that. She don't know anything else. just the cash register. I told her to make the cash register and make the juices for the people. And that's how we're going to rock out.
So at what point do you leave there? Because you had your own, you got your own spot at one point too, right?
What?
Restaurant. No, this Not a restaurant, storefront.
No, this is my storefront. This oh. This the one. So at the Woods, the guys and stuff, Mr. Tony, he had a crew in there for the breakfast time and lunch and almost dinner. Then I came in.
So y'all pretty much sharing a spot.
Yeah, we sharing the same
It's two spot. Restaurants.
Two restaurants
in one.
Yeah, but they failed. First and tip and learning. So I learned off of them. Understand, catch these acronyms. Fail, first and tip and learning. So once they fail, I had to realize it could happen.
The restaurant closed.
No, they bought.
That part.
Yeah, they bought. They bought. So I'm like, I came back to another proposition. Like, Tony, look, man, I know y'all ain't really doing good. Can I get up there? Can I get that extra time?
You
want
to take that time slot now?
Yeah, can I get that time?
Yeah.
So it was a big hump for me. Like, all right. Because a lot of people couldn't get to me at six now.
So how much is the rent now?
The rent went up $1,000.
So $2,000 a month. But you got it. It's your spot, 24 hours.
Everything, mine. Whatever I want to do, I open up from 12. So I still open up from 12 to 12.
Yeah, but that took 6 to 7 months of trust, plus them failing, and now you saying, let me.
Realizing it happened.
I'm going to take some opportunity and maximize it.
So what happens? All right. So you're up, you're open. It's your spot now, 12 to 12, your show. How's it work out for you?
Oh, man, it was going amazing. It still is amazing. It was going amazing. I'm in there every day. I'm cooking up. I get to see that lunch crowd. So we near a hospital, John Hopkins. Mm. So I get to see that crowd come. I get to see all this new crowd come. So that brought that fresh money I wasn't never seeing out the house.
How old were you then?
I was 20. 20,
just
turned 20, yep. So 20 years old. So I'm looking at 20 years old. I'm in the kitchen every day. You know, it got overwhelming then because I got so many customers. So I had to start, you know, hiring people and things of that nature. So Cuffy was always... Shout out to my guy, Cuffy. He was always promoting and things. So I'm trying to give him money. Like, Cuffy, take this $200, man. I love how you promote. He ain't wanting no money. Keep your money, bro. So Cuffy just started coming there and giving me a hand with things. Mm-hmm. Then he turned to my partner.
Yeah, just from the ground.
Yeah.
So all right. So that was 2015? 2017. All right, so 2017, you're up and running. And what are you selling? Like, what's on the menu?
Oh, so now what's on the menu? You have the nacho bangers. You have the banger wraps. You had the banger juice.
I love it. I love it.
You had the like banger juice.
Tacos?
No, we ain't even do tacos yet. So we had the banger juice. It was just three items on the menu. Then mind you, I ran across Dirk. Dirk say six items. He told me how to measure my items out, itemize my items on the menu. Cause I looked at his menu, I'm like, damn, it's a little bit of stuff, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I looked at his menu and I started like, all right, look, I'm gonna start up with six items now. Six items. So I put the nacho banger first, made the wraps, the juice, the cheese steaks, the coffee bowls, and the fries. So I made six items.
What's the coffee bowl?
The coffee bowl is like a homemade mashed potatoes, a real steak, not the fake steak, the bowl that'll carry your toes, you hear me? queso in there with the sauce. Everything made with extra love. You know what I'm saying? Made with extra love.
Extra love.
Extra love. So when you bite this coffee bowl.
So, all right. So now you still got the food van at that time?
No. Yeah, I still got the van at this time. Yeah.
So you, all right. So now you got.
That's delivering too?
Yeah, we're delivering as well.
Okay. So now you got.
So we deliver like to events and things that need. We ain't deliver like just regular on the street because we both was in the kitchen then.
So now you got the van and you got the store. How much money are you bringing in a month from the whole operation?
Oh, man. So 10 a week, we was bringing like a good 50K, 40 a month.
40 a month?
Yeah.
You're 20 years old.
20 years old, winning.
Net?
Winning. No one was supporting now. So after the
after your expenses, how much do you?
I ain't know. At that time, I ain't know.
No, that's an honest answer. Yeah, that's an honest answer. And I respect that because it's like, because you told us before, like that kind of hurt you later on. And that happens with entrepreneurs all the time too, where it's like, they don't know how much. Especially if you're young, you're getting money. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it catches up with you down the line.
It catch up with you down the line. So come with that, you know, when I got to the six figure spot, I told you I had to Google what six figures was. I even had to Google what a father was. You know, not grunt or no father in my life. Had to Google like, all right, this is what a father is. Write down the steps of what fathers do. Write down what six figures. I'm like, all right, it's only six zeros. Like
for real, for real.
It's only 100K, literally. I said, okay. And I learned that. I started looking at my numbers during the COVID. So I went to a bank, you know, shout out to April Diva Style. She's on the block. So this one, I got the mindset of a millionaire. I'm a
she was on your block?
She that's her block, 2400.
Yeah, you're on her block.
I'm on her block now. So mind you, so it was somebody gave me game. You know, the customers give me game. The customers around the neighborhood. Somebody sat on the outside. I'm sitting outside. Somebody like, you know, you on the millionaire block, right? This is a black owned block right here. I say, what you mean by that? He said, April right there, that's millionaire. He said, the pawn shop right here, they're billionaires. He said, the next restaurant next to you, they're millionaires.
Yeah.
He said, what that make you? I said, the next millionaire.
Facts.
So I'm like, you know, I go holler at April Dealer Styles, you know. That's Wallow wife. Shout out to Wallow.
Shout out to Wallow.
Yeah, shout out to the guy.
So went to holler at April. That's one of my female mentors as well. I got three female mentors. You have April Diva Styles. You have Shayna. She an accountant. You have my mama, Kia. My mother, Kia, I met her through the trenches, for real, you know. Through the trenches. She was one of them queens in the neighborhood that really taught me everything.
Yeah. So you are 20 years old. Yeah. You've brought in $40,000. You're not really sure what the numbers are.
What are we doing? What are we buying?
So
we buying all types of cars. Mind you, the baby just was born. So Pampers and wipes. That was serious. You know, buying new cars, buying my child mother a new car, paying the rent off for like a year. You know, so I'm paying every quarter, I'm paying the rent off for a quarter worth. Like, all right, yeah, this is how much? It's $1,000 a month right here. All right, boom. Still paying the landlord. So paying the rent for the store. So these is bills now. So I'm starting to learn, okay, this is bill. Paying employment. Didn't know the food cost, so I'm messing up money on food costs.
You're just paying too much for food.
I'm paying too much for food. I'm paying too much for employment because I ain't know no better.
Yeah.
So
when you went to full day, how many employees now?
Oh, now I learned the labor. So it's only two employees now. You know, one to do the cashier and one to do everything else. The portions, the prep, the portions. You know?
No, you mean at that time, right? How much?
Oh, at that time?
Yeah, yeah. So like half day you had like two and then
Yeah. So it was always like I had four employees a day. You have 12 to 6. That was two employees. 6 to 12, that was two employees.
Okay.
How much was you paying them?
I was paying them like, I'm going to be real, man. Like, let me be real. I didn't even know what the, what they call it.
Minimum wage.
I didn't know what minimum wage was at the time. They was just loving me. That's my boss. I'm young. I'm a boss. Had to Google what a boss was. So, you know, I was paying like $200, $250 here and there. I know.
So it wasn't even like a set salary. You just paying them money.
I'm just paying them like, bro.
Just on some just street. Like,
they might have earned it or not.
Yeah, $200 here, $50 here, like that. No, it's an honest answer. And also,
tax-free.
A lot of time people don't understand like what you said about
paying. Tax-free money for them.
What you said about paying the rent up front is it's hard to understand if you've never seen that before, but I've seen it before. Like when somebody had money and they move into like a nice condo and they paid a whole year. Yeah. They paid like $24,000 up front.
Up front.
But it's like, obviously for somebody that's like educated on finance, it's like you could have used that for a down payment of a house, right?
House.
But coming off a street corner, you're not thinking like that. And like I said, I've seen people do that before.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking at that time, man. So, all that time I'm wasting so much money. Like, it was just money just going waste. I didn't know what it was going to waste, but I just knew it was money going, it was blown.
So at what point do you, all right, so you get the whole city in a frenzy with the with the
Nacho
van
Bangers.
And the but then you started a dance.
So the Nacho Banger dance.
Oh,
so
man.
This what happened, right? We in a car. We bought Hannah Montana.
Shout out to Migos.
Hannah Montana. So then my boys, A1 Bame and Young Ink, like, Nacho Bangers. So who you hear on the song, Nacho Bangers song, is A1 Bame. So he like, Nacho Bangers. We got beef. We got shrimp. One bite. Tastes like love. You can even get it with cheese. Nacho Bangers.
Yeah.
Nacho Bangers.
Yeah.
Dab. With a dab of sour cream. Dab. With a dab of sour cream. Dab. So these guys in the car bumping the Hannah Montana.
And these your friends.
These my friends. So Bame got a studio in his house. And he make beats and everything. So A1 Bame straight going to studio. Cook up. He cook up. I'm cooking nachos. He cooking up beats. So he go cook up. I'm like, what you mean you cooking up? I'm cooking up a beat.
Yeah.
So they got in the studio, man. Young Inky on the ad libs and A1 Bame just fired that thing. And to this day, man, we've still rocking concerts with that song. And after that, I just put a little dance together like this.
We gonna put the clip on YouTube.
So Nacho Banger dance went viral. So all that's what attracted all the youth. You know, then that's what got my foot into like the speaking engagements with the youth, you know, how you started your business and things, because all the kids started doing my dance. It was a dance, you know, even that dance that you made on Ellen. Shout out to A1 Chops and them, A1 Trill, A1 Leak. Them boys right there, they start doing a dance. And that put the city in a frenzy. Like, they went on Ellen with that dance. Like, that was crazy.
So the dance goes crazy. Like I said, once again, I see, because I do my research. I don't just listen to what people say. I do my research. And I seen it. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it in Morgan State. I saw it in the clubs in Baltimore. I saw
little kids out there doing it in the streets, man.
Little kids in
the
neighborhood doing it. And it's a thing. Like, it's like a real thing in Baltimore. So from there, more and more people know who you are now because they know you from the dance. Even if they don't know your food, they know it from
the
dance.
They know the dance.
So after the dance, you know, shout to Cuffy. That's my guy. It's my brother, Cuffy Sauce. He came up with this thing called Sauce. He went Vine famous off the Sauce.
With a W.
With a W, S-A-3-W-C-E, sauce.
Gotcha.
Hot sauce, barbecue sauce, you feel me, Nacho Bank sauce.
All of them.
All over, so that's Cuffy Stat right there. So that put the city in a whole nother level. Because now you have a hashtag that you can actually say, sauce. So when people see it, they're like, sauce, you feel me? And that's what get our attention, like, it's a mango for real. So we'll catch you, that's the Sauce Boy sauce. It's a banger for real. Like, it was a catchy phrase to get people. Like, now you, if you don't even know us, now you're able to say one word and get us to smile, you know? So, And that was catchy because, you know, I done seen famous people. I ain't know what to say to them. But if I know somebody got a crazy slogan, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can say something. Like, yeah.
It's a banger for real.
It's a banger for real. Like,
so at what point, all right, so you blowing up in the streets.
Yes.
And you blowing money fast.
Yes.
And you got the dance.
Look
move.
How old I was.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah, for sure.
Completely understandable.
So you, but at one point you realized that you had the real things in and become more organized, right? You said you met an accountant or something like that. How'd that, what happened with that?
I met a financial advisor. And
how'd you meet him?
Through April Diva Styles.
Okay.
So financial advisor Nicole Groves. She's working at Bank of America at the time. So she was like, you got a credit card? I said, what is that? You got a credit card? I'm like, what is that? She's like, you don't got no credit? I'm like, man, what is credit? She broke the whole thing down to me. Only spend 20% on this and do this, do that. I'm like, slow down for me. How do I start?
Yeah.
She said, first you got to open a bank account, put like $500 in there. She said, I don't deal with no banks. I'm in a shoebox.
So you keeping your money in a shoebox?
I'm keeping my money in a shoebox inside plastic bags with every date on there. So I write the date of what I made the money. It's still out the store. So I write on the paper, this date, put the money that we made that day, seal the bag up, put it in the shoebox.
Real shoebox money.
Real. So every month is a month, a box. Oh, this Nike box got that month. That's April. This Nike box got, that's June. This Nike box got, that's the month. So every box, I know what's in there because I'd be like, all right, it's only $300 for me. Oh, it's only $700 in that. All right, I'm going to take that Ziploc bag out. Oh, that's $1,000 for the print. All right, boom.
Trappers Anonymous.
Yeah, so I was out there. So she's like, no, you have to stop that. So she brought me in the bank. I'm so confused. The whole time, I ain't no realistic. I'm really building a relationship with the bank now. So they actually know me now. So she helped me build that relationship with the bank. To this day, she don't work there anymore. She had another bank, and the bank still love me, you know. So from there, mind you, I'm still out of the box with my money into the store. So she put me on game with the Clover system. That's the POS. She put me on game, like, how to really start tracking. Because I got employees now. Come on, people, still. So I'm not really knowing where money going. I'm just knowing if I make this quarter. My goal a day was $800 to $1,000 a day. You know, when I got the store from, I had to learn, like, all right, this is what I'm going to make. I was making past that, though. It was scary. But,
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. People probably just clipping you every day.
But the love, you know, off of love, they not, but yeah. I did not know. So she put the Clover system up, taught me how to get the Clover.
What's that?
Clover is a POS system. It track your money now. You know.
How much money comes in?
It track everything down, how much money come in. You can make invoices on it, everything. So you can even do ads on there, like everything. So track my money down and things. She taught me that. She taught me how the credit card worked, secure credit card, all that financial literacy that I actually needed. She took her time with me. So she broke everything down on black and white on a piece of paper. She had to break it down, do this. This is how you're going to spend it, things of that nature. This is a FICO school. She taught me everything. You know, shout out to her. She got a company called Be More Savvy. She's building, teaching free financial literacy to the community of Baltimore City. So, and I definitely invite her to all my events about entrepreneurship, for she could teach financial literacy to the world. And once she taught me that financial literacy part, it gave me a break. So I started really calculating my money, started learning what a spreadsheet was and things of that nature through everything with the Clover system. So every day I'm on a Clover system looking like, oh, all right, I made that. Then I got strict with my money. I got strict with the employees that I had, because now I'm looking at it like, oh, hold up. Inventory was high, but we made this. Nah, who's stealing now? So I start getting back in the store real heavy. I start watching my numbers. And through then, still, money still being missing, inventory like this. So I'm like, all right. She's like, you have to get an accountant. I can't keep helping you. You have to keep books. She told me download QuickBooks and things of that nature. So I'm downloading QuickBooks. Come on, I didn't know what an accountant was. Then she told me you got to pay them this much a month. So I'm like, huh? Oh, they get a budget out of my money? Nah, what's that app? So I started doing the QuickBooks myself. Dangs got overwhelmed because, I'm getting booked for all type of shows due to the dance. So I'm getting booked for the shows to entertain.
They just want you to show up.
They just want me to show
and
up.
And do the dance. Not even for the nachos.
Not for the nachos. I'm getting booked. Not for the catering. I'm getting booked. We are getting booked. Me and Coffee are getting booked for the shows, the entertainment part. Then after the entertainment, I'm going to start picking up the mic. So I started hosting as well. Like, 1-2-1-2, hold up. So I start going crazy on the mic as well. So that club scene. So Nacho Bangers, y'all. It's the banger voice. So we get to going crazy on the mic and just getting booked for entertainment. So with that, it was like, I couldn't do QuickBooks no more. I'm getting all this kind of money coming in now. So receipts, I'm going shopping. I'm saving every receipt. I'm taking a picture of every receipt that I get. And I'm like, oh, this is new to me. Every store I go to, I'm like, oh, I need the receipt. The gas station, I need the receipt.
For your deductions.
Yeah, for everything I spend, I need a receipt. So all my friends looking like, what you can get the receipts for? I'm saying, bro, you buy a pair of shoes, make sure you give me your receipt, bro.
Yeah, bro, I know a guy who used to do that. Every time we would go out, he's sitting next to you. Yo, we would go out, he like for years. And I was like, yo, bro, what's he? And then I finally was like, oh, that's why he's keeping the receipts. Like anytime, like if he wouldn't even eat, he'd be like, yo, let me get your receipt. I was like, ah. Great, got it.
Tax write off.
Tax write off. So I start saving my receipts, and all my friends not to this day, but around that time, they used to give me the receipts and stuff. And I had a shoebox for the receipts too. You get me? Shoebox for all the receipts, the days that I spent. So I was my own accountant then, as I know. So I was booking my own stuff and putting everything in order. So I learned order, and I was putting everything together. Then it got too overwhelmed, so I had to get an accountant. And I started learning my money. When the accountant taught me how to calculate my money. Then after that, I got an assistant because I couldn't keep up with the accountant anymore because I'm moving the state to state now through the entertainment and the nachos. Mm. So I'm going to state to state. I'm going to D.C. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going all over. Just to sell nachos, doing pop-ups everywhere. And I'm meeting different people. I'm networking. So I got me an assistant. Shout out to Pappy. So Pappy breaking everything down. I told him the whole format. I built a confidential form. Before you walk into my store, before you walk in the back, you have to sign a confidential form. Then I read a document where someone was trying to get talk to Blue Ivy, but he had to sign a non-disclosure form, an NDA. So I had a girl called my sister, Monty, and she was like, yeah, I know how to write them up. I said, make me one for Nacho Bangers. So she made me an NDA form for Nacho Bangers. So people had to sign a confidential form, the non-disclosure application. So I started getting tech with everything. Like, okay, all right, this is the employment. So the accountant was like, hey, you can start putting, what you going to do, 1090 with your employees? I'm like, no, I want to pay their own taxes. So I started getting smart. Then she's like, do you want to get W-2s? I'm like, yeah, that's more smarter. I'm happy that I had an accountant. But with the accountant, I had the financial literacy lady that taught me everything the accountant was supposed to do. So it was like I had somebody watching the accountant as well. You feel me? I had my assistant watching my money from the employees. Then I had my accountant watch my money from my assistant. And I had the financial literacy lady watching the accountant. Because that's how I really built a relationship with the bank flow. So I had people, I had her watch everything I go through. Like, okay, so I don't get caught up. You feel me?
Yeah, just really quick. Why did you need a non-disclosure?
Non-disclosure because the sauce. The recipe. You have to be real careful. Anything that we talk about here, you know.
Like some secret society.
Yeah, literally. You know, you got planktons in the world. We like SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs. You can't come get this secret phone. It's the sauce. So, you know, we had to start. So, you know, everybody, a lot of people start having us on their resume. That's why I had to start being careful because now this is a brand. This is a business. People want, it's hot. People want to just work for us for the name. So I had to catch it like, nah, it's a little strict now. We're going to do interviews. We're going to hire you like this. This is the protocol. This is how you want to come in. This is how you want to operate. You know, we're going to give, we're going to do our best with Chick-fil-A service. We're having Chipotle assembly, you know, just like that.
No, that's a fact. All right. So in the last segment, we're going to talk about a few things, but I want to talk about ghost restaurants. Yeah,
you got something special with that.
Yeah,
sure. All right, so now we're gonna talk about something that's interesting. What happened to the van? You got crashed up?
So,
like a random thought, right?
Wow. So about the van. So Cuffy called me like, bro. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong? Calm down, man. I got sideswiped. The van crashed.
Damn.
So I'm gonna call you right back. I said, send me your location. I texted like, man, send me your location. I pulled up on the van. Ooh, child, look at that investment. So I said, ooh, child, look at that investment. You know how he is. Man, we gonna get it right back, man. We getting to it. We the bag of boys. I'm like, you right. So me thinking I got an LLC with no insurance on the vehicle, I'm like, oh, are we good? You know? We all right. Yeah, bit me in my ass afterwards. So yeah, the banger van got crashed up. From there, it set me down a little bit. And I ain't sit down for too long. I grabbed me a smart car. So I got to grab me some more eye candy. So that was an eye candy for the neighborhood. I'm a big dude in a smart car. I look like Shaq in a smart car. So I'm driving around in a smart car with the convertible one. So the drop top, you hear me? In a smart car. So I'm driving around in a smart car. Nacho bangers, y'all. So I'm yelling Nacho bang. You got something in there? Yep. I'm pulling up on curves. I'm going crazy with the smart car, serving nachos out the smart car. So that ain't stop us from being mobile.
So, all right. So this is something that's really, really interesting. I actually just learned about a concept called ghost restaurants, which is actually very popular in New York City, yeah. Boston, D.C., like metropolitan areas yeah. where it's you're trying to start a restaurant and Manhattan, the rent might be $15,000 a month. Yeah. So it's like you don't have enough money.
A lot of overhead.
But you can start a ghost restaurant. So you was actually doing this before you knew what a ghost restaurant was, right?
Yeah, actually, I was doing it right out the crib before I knew what it was. Good brother of mine's Al came through. He was letting me know, like, man, this is a ghost restaurant. I'm like, what? And he was like, yeah, this concept right here, what you're doing is a ghost restaurant. Mm. I'm like, man, bring it down to me. Show me. You know, I always got to get the details.
You love to learn, man. I love that about you.
I got to understand where you get the information from.
Yeah.
Show me the source. So he broke the source down. L don't do too much talking. He pull it up and show you right in your face. So I'm looking it up. I'm like, wow. This one thing I read it. It was two guys started a company, man. They running 9 kitchens out of 2 storefronts. What? Yeah, I'm going to run it back. Ghost restaurants. They run 9 restaurants out of 2 storefronts.
So it could be like somebody selling Chinese food, somebody selling
Italian,
somebody selling empanadas, all in the same kitchen.
All in the same kitchen. Only for one roof.
And so the thing with the ghost restaurant, correct me if I'm wrong, so you make food out of like a kitchen, like your home.
Takeout only.
Your home kitchen, takeout only. And you get like Grubhub or
Uber Eats,
Postmates.
They deliver Seamless. It. But when you order from Uber Eats, they have like a menu. You don't necessarily know where these places are.
No, you don't.
You just see Thai restaurant. These are the different things that we have on the menu.
That they have.
So now you literally make the food in your kitchen. You have Grubhub, Uber Eats come.
And you know, the rest of social media, your Instagram, your Facebook, that people going on, you know.
Yeah.
So you advertise on that. You know, you can set a website up, advertise off of that. So one thing I did, you know, I'm already a platform on social media. So I started using Instagram. So I actually met a dude that was a chef. He do seafood real good. So I met him. You know what I do. I'm normally know how to hire. This was his profession. So I brought him around. Built the menu. I built the menu for six items.
Six items again. Yeah.
Built the menu up. And I put him to work, you know? But now I actually know. Confidential. NDA. Here you go. It's another recipe. I cannot. I only had one employee, so he knew everything. You know, all you need is one. It ain't too much walk-ins and it's takeout only. So the tablet's banging. He hitting every tablet. Pick up. Boom. Now you can do your time because you can put 5 minutes to wait, 10 minutes to wait. DoorDash pick up, Grubhub pick up, you know, and take the food to the people and they drive off with it.
And they never have any idea that it's coming from you.
Nope.
And like you said, you can have seven different restaurants in one kitchen.
In one kitchen.
Chinese, I got it. Pizza, got it.
We got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So my main concept, you know.
Everything 3 minutes away.
So you got to be safe serving, things of that nature. You have to be tech, you know, licensed up and things of that nature. I mean, and also, it's some, you know, you got the pros and the cons. So the pros about it, yeah, you can do all that great things, but you have to make sure the package is good, like a restaurant. You have to package it good. It's still a restaurant, so you have to market it and ship it out very good. But the cons is that you can get bad reviews on Yelp.
Oh, that hurts you.
You can get bad reviews on Yelp or bad reviews on the Grubhub, the DoorDash, because the drivers can take too long. You get it? Mm-hmm. So the drivers can take too long and mess your whole product up.
You can't control the drivers, though, right?
You can't control the drivers at all.
So how do you get, like, if I wanted to start a ghost restaurant out of my kitchen, how do I get on Uber Eats? Is it like an application you got
to
fill out?
Yeah, you have to fill an application out. You have to have an EIN number. You know, you have to have the basics for a regular restaurant. You have to have the basics. So you have to fill out all the information. You know, they hit you back on an email. They do everything that you're looking forward to, how to open a restaurant. They send a cameraman out to take the pictures of your food. Mm. So everything.
Do they taste it?
No, they don't taste it. But
they make sure it's official.
They make sure it's official. So what I always do, I do private tastings. You know, any restaurant I create, I do private tastings. That way they can come. You know, my friends come over, they taste the food. Oh, all right, this the one. Nah, I don't really like this.
It's not a banger.
It's too seasoned. It's not a banger. So when I cook up for them, I'm like, all right, bet. I always say this. Sometimes people's dreams are tied to your success. Mm. So certain investments that you take, is someone's dreams tied into that.
So you don't, I mean, you have some like uncanny hours, right? So like,
yeah. So
you want to talk about how much time is put into doing
restaurants? A lot of time is put into these restaurants, man. Only to come to a sleep is a dream, but you have to get your rest. And I heard one thing, like if you rest, you rust. So be careful with your time and you definitely got to be careful with your health as well. So I definitely be tired. You know, this restaurant industry, entrepreneurship, definitely, you know, put me in some sacrifices beyond my limits. I don't even see my children. You know, I got two young boys from one year old and 2 years old, Cheyenne Kabir. So that messed me up with my entrepreneur lifestyle, running a restaurant, messed up my relationship with my child mother, you know. Mm-hmm. Me not having the time, me not being there for my, you know, for the family. I'm not even seeing my kids because I'm running the restaurants and things of that nature. So that really hurt me too as being a young father. So I'm trying to get that freedom back as well because, okay, you got freedom from not working for nobody, but now you're taking your freedom from your family. Like, they don't even get to see you. Mm. So my freedom got took from like that because being an entrepreneur. So that's the cons of the restaurant industry as well and entrepreneur industry, that you don't even see your family because you're working until hours. You're doing this so you become a slave of the money.
Yeah, and that's the goal too, is to ultimately scale to the point where you don't actually have to physically work, because you're really trading one boss for another. In that scenario, it's like now the boss isn't Mr. Johnson, but the boss is Benjamin Franklin. Your boss is money.
Your boss is money.
So the goal is to actually be financially free to a point where it's not really about, I always say, it's not about money, it's about freedom.
About freedom.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. Peace of mind is, you can't put a price tag on peace of mind.
Can't put a price tag on peace of mind. So my mindset now is like, you know, all that's taken care of. Communication is number one. You got to learn how to communicate and let these women know that's actually taking care of these kids. Let your sons know. Let your family know, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to sacrifice this time right now.
Yeah.
Oh, so now I do. I'm going to get my kids 3 days out the week. I make sure I get them 3 days out the week. Like, I pause myself. I get brother of mine that know the recipe and things, that know how to run a restaurant. I get an employee that know how to run it, and I step out and be a father as well. And that's my freedom as well.
Yeah, it's important, man. Like, I know that struggle, man. And it takes a lot of balance, like not being there to make it to a parent-teacher conference, right, or not being there to check the homework. And I remember when my daughter got a, we had went to Chicago and she failed her spelling test. And I was like, damn, we wasn't there to study. You know what I mean? But having systems in place, having support, it makes it a lot easier, man.
A lot easier, because them kids is definitely a mental break for you as well. They definitely bring another kind of energy.
Right.
You know, that's free minds. That's fresh mindsets, because that's new smiles. So your children, you looking at them, you're like, wow, these my broke best friends. These my broke best friends. So I got to really, like.
Yeah, I mean, and in the end, you're doing it for them. That's right. It. So like anytime you feel tired, this is like, you know what? I can't be tired because I know what the future holds for him.
I know what the future
holds. And I know what the future holds for her. We're just going to make this easier for them. You know what That's mean?
It. But it's also about overcoming adversity and taking imperfect action, like Maxwell said. And it's like, the thing I like about your story is that it's real and it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, because it's like in life, nobody's ever perfect, right?
No. Yeah.
And it's like for you, like you said, you had to Google what a father, like that's real. Like that's a real.
It's an honest answer.
No, but it's real though.
It's
like
a real answer.
Because you figure you Google everything. If you don't know what the answer is, you Google it.
Because you don't want guessing. And I look at the men that was in my life. It was some great ones there, but I wasn't really consistent to learn from them. I really couldn't relate. I can relate to them from certain things that he was doing, but I took piece by piece because I had to still survive. Mm-hmm. So I was still in survival setting as well. Like, oh, he own a restaurant. He doing this. Oh, wow, he on a barber shop, he on a mechanic shop. Yeah, but they had employees already. I was too young to work, so I had to get on the trap.
Yeah, Nipsey said that, man. He said it's tough to thrive when you're in survival mode.
Yeah, in survival.
As soon as you come out of survival mode, you're going
to
learn.
You forget times to eat.
Yeah.
You don't even eat. You know, I was skinnier. That's why I say never trust a skinny chef. Because when I was in that grind mode, it wasn't no eating. I had to survive. I really had to get in the trenches. I really had to make it do what it do. I really had to, like, you know, take it. Then I'm getting my young lady pregnant. We both 19, she 18. This is a newborn baby, right? Bring a new life into the atmosphere of the world. I had to get on my grind. It wasn't no little boy. You're not little Eric no more. You're becoming a man.
Yeah.
What you gonna grow? So I made two goals. One, to build generational wealth. And one, to prepare my death for my family. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like when Nas said, he's like, I rep the brilliance of Queensbridge, and that line is so dope to me, because it's like, obviously Queensbridge is a project, so it's like when he said, I rep the brilliance of Queensbridge, it's like, you don't necessarily say public housing and brilliant, but I think like his line, like you're a living example of his line, because it's like without knowing it, you've shown brilliance. Like, as far as you had the ghost restaurant, you just doing it. You don't know that's a ghost restaurant.
I ain't know nothing.
You start the dance moving on. You don't know that's marketing. You start the restaurant out of your house. You just cooking food. You don't know that you actually starting a real business.
And I also, you know, I'm saving lives through employment.
That's a fact.
You know, I'm really saving young lives through employment. I'm giving back to the community. These kids in survival mode got to take care of the little sister, got to take care of the mother. And I'm really like, wow, they actually paying rent at what age? 17, 15, 16? What? You can't even get a work permit and you paying bills?
Nah, hey. It's a real story. And it's something that, like I said, the thing with Earn Your Leisure is that we try to highlight different stories. But it's important to highlight stories like this, because it's like talking about young entrepreneurs, and it's like you're already succeeding with very little resources. Yeah. So it's like,
and at a very young age.
Yeah. So very it's like age. You're gonna get to where you need to go regardless. Cause that's just God's plan. But it's like, what if you grew up in a middle class neighborhood? You might be the CEO of Pepsi right now.
Come on.
You know what I'm
saying?
Because you're already brilliant. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's all part of the plan. So you're gonna get there regardless. And I like what you said as far as the family too, because it's like that happens. See, this is something that it's not just you. We look at the Forbes list, you see half of the CEOs is divorced. I read Phil Knight's book. He was like, the biggest regret is that he wasn't there for his kid. Because it's like, when you're running a business on small or large level, entrepreneur, a lot of times that can consume your life.
Consume your life.
And it's something that, like I said, that on a high level, small level, people struggle with that all the time. So it's like, it doesn't matter if you're running a Fortune 500 company or a bodega, balance is something that everybody has to come in.
And catch the little, like, when you go out to eat by yourself and you going to eat with a friend, catch some little side conversations that people having with the bartender. So I actually learned how to get my kids 3 days out of the week because I heard from this man he was talking to. I was in Reef Crest, and he was talking to the bartender. He was like, yeah, so I don't get my daughter anymore. I only get her 2 days out of the week. It used to be three. Man, I'm over here eating my food. Like, boy, that's a good idea. I don't get them at all. So I'm like, you know what? I'm calling my child mother. Hey, I'm going to start getting the kids 3 days out of the week. Okay, where that come from? Man, I learned it. You hear me? I'm coming to get them. I'm going to start getting them. All right, what's your days is? I'm going to figure that out. I just know I'm coming to get them 3 days out of the week, all right? So we was went from there, and I started getting them.
Now you're learning life on the fly. And like I said, I mean, it's commendable because it's like how many people could survive in that situation of not even growing up with parents and, like, you know, literally being on your own at 6 years old, like,
getting trying kidnapped to by out. Your own brother.
Like. So it's like, you're learning life on the fly. And it's really encouraging to even see a young entrepreneur. Like when we saw you in Baltimore, it's like, that's dope. Like that you actually came to DC.
Shout out to my man L, man. My man L was like, come on.
Yeah, he said, I bought the tickets. He said, where we going? Don't worry, you're going.
But that's one of the dope things about Earn Your Leisure. It's like a business. Who would have thought somebody like be listening to a business podcast? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like we tapped in with the streets. It's like it's a really dope situation because it's something that it's like people always you present people with a better way and they'll go that way. Nine times out of ten, if a person, a lot of people will go that way. Some people won't, but a lot of people will go that way. But they have to be presented with it. Yeah. They have to be shown it.
And how many people are giving you the option or the opportunity to have a platform to say this story? Because your story was uplifting. Your energy, Baltimore know your energy. Yes, but like sir. The world going to see your energy after this. But your energy was so infectious. I was just like, yo, this kid is a star.
Hey, so I always say star power, man. Like that star power, seriously. Like Mama Time, it was raining. You know, they shooting a movie in Baltimore. Shout out to Meek Mills and Chino. So they shooting a movie in Baltimore, Charm City Kings, produced by Will Smith and others. So they shooting a movie in Baltimore. So a friend of mine's come up there, Young Moose. I actually met Meek Mills out of Young Moose. We came up there earlier with Sonny. Then I linked up with the people that, you know, you got the little side people that feed everybody and things. I'm like, what y'all got up here? What y'all got to eat? What y'all serving? He was like, we just got little snacks, like, you know, chips and things that nature. I'm like, man, y'all feeding these people chips? These stars really eating chips and carrots? I said, man, I got something, man. So the dude on the had the food truck, the food, you know, did the food thing. He had a budget for food. So by me talking to him, he's like, look, I got this budget. Bring this amount of wraps up. And I'm like, say less. Say less. So I went to my storefront. I got some wraps. It was pouring down, thunderstorm raining. So tell Cuffy, come on. So I'm feeding everybody. You know, I got the budget already. You know what I mean? I'm feeding everybody.
Check clear.
Had 2 bags left. I had 2 bags for the wraps left. So I'm walking. I see Meek. I'm like, Meek, you hungry? Like, what you got? Say, man, I got chicken and shrimp wrap, beef and shrimp wrap. He like, give me the chicken and shrimp joint. So I gave him that one. And we walking off. He like, nah, come get a picture. Like, no record, because he had his little outfit on. You know? Like, no record. So, Coffee took the picture for us and things of that nature. It was raining, so we got up out of there, for real. The next day, 10 a.m., I got a DM for Chino. Chino like, Meek needs some bangers. Meek want bangers. So, I fed Meek Mills again.
You know Chino?
Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah, I grew up with Chino as well. So, Chino hit me like, yo, Meek need bangers. Said, what? Okay, I'm going to hit you when I get it. Like, I'm on my way, you feel me? So that was definitely a milestone for me, feeding that guy, you know, feeding that good brother. And that made me my respect level so much more for him. And definitely reading his watching his documentary on Amazon made me cry. Definitely made me shed tears. Definitely made me respect him as a human being so much. And just understanding from the poverty and where I come from and how I grew up and understanding, like, the reform situation, what he's doing now for the world. It really woke me up. And when he ate that nacho banger twice, man, what? You couldn't tell me nothing. One bite tastes like love, y'all. That one bite.
Oh, not a love.
Shout out to Meek. Our second Meek Mill story on the podcast. Yeah. We got to get Meek on the podcast. Good brother. For sure. So Nacho, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Can you tell the people your social media handles, how to contact you?
How to contact me? You can Google Nacho Bangers, NachoBangers. Everything pop up, from videos, images, everything. Also, follow me on Instagram at DINZYKILLA. Denzy Killer, Nacho Bangers, Cuffy Sauce. That's all you have to do. You're going to find us right there on all platforms.
Where's your spot? Where's your spot at?
2420 East Monument Street, Baltimore, Maryland. Make sure y'all stop there if y'all in Baltimore.
They're going to pull up.
What you there for? What you coming for? What connection you make? Make sure you come to the banger spot where one bite tastes like love.
They're coming. They're coming. And
never trust a skinny chef.
And never, ever, ever,
ever, ever
trust a skinny chef, y'all. That's
Bill. Troy, some housekeeping items?
Sauce. Yeah, man.
And look, let me tell y'all this, though. Some of them ghost restaurants and Grubhub and DoorDash, it be me.
Yo, shout out to Nacho. No, we got a new name, Huey B. Nacho.
Yeah, Huey B. Nacho. So when I came up, that's the alter ego name of me. I'm watching the Huey P. Newton story. And I was like, wow, this man was a legend. So I'm like, my name Huey now. Huey B. Nacho. So it's Huey Banger Nacho, you know what I mean?
Shout out to Huey B. Nacho, man. And shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. We have over 120 people on there. So shout out to everybody that has joined. We got some new members, Maurice, Mahelfit, and Everett. So shout out to y'all for joining. And you know, if you're on Tier 5, you have access to Earn Your Leisure University. That is our online school.
If you're not in tune with EYL University, get in tune with it for
sure. Locked in.
If you're not up on there, man, get on locked on here now, man. Best podcast in the universe. Earn Your Leisure.
That's a fact.
Appreciate you.
The book tip of this week, we got two books. The first book is Extreme Ownership by Jacko Wilnick. And the second book is
How to Get Rich Real Quick Dummy by Abini Nazir. She's from Baltimore, Maryland as well. Make sure y'all check out.
Yeah, shout out to Baltimore, man. You know, we got
Baltimore.
We got a lot of ties in B-more for sure. So, all right, guys, thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.